Appreciate the prayer and ask for continued interest in your prayers this morning. There have been two passages that's on my heart, and they kind of go together, but they're a little bit different. And so I want to notice passages where the Bible gives us instruction on how we should respond. My thought, first of all, goes to Exodus chapter 14. If you're familiar with the book of Exodus, you know that God delivered his people out of Egypt. As a matter of fact, before there was a children of Israel, God told Abraham, "Thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs for 400 years. Well, eventually, Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, and from that sprang the nation of Israel. Okay? They were in Egypt for 400 years, over 400 years, but as far as the decree and all of that. But then God delivered them out. And you remember the plagues, and I don't want to take a lot of time with that, but there was the plagues that God inflicted, because each time Moses went down and the Lord sent him down there to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go," it wasn't just that Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Lord said, "I'll harden his heart." That kind of sounds strange, doesn't it? But God had a purpose. If God does something, he has a purpose for it.
Oh, yes.
And so what we find is this nation, which was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in that day, and they had all of these idols and all of these false gods. And so in all of these plagues, God is going to show his power over every god they had. And so he was going to show himself to be the only true and living God. And so when he brought them out, and I don't have time to get into the Passover and all of that, but when he brought them out, he brought them up to the Red Sea. All right? I'm getting close to my first passage here. They came up to the Red Sea, and God once again hardened Pharaoh's heart, so he sent the army after the children of Israel. And so they got to a place where they were trapped. The Egyptians were coming behind them, and the Red Sea was before them. And what did they do? They began to complain. They began to panic. Time's running out. We got to do something, don't we? You ever been in a situation like that? Where folks say, "We got to do something." Well, Moses told them what they were to do in a situation like that. And I'm going to tell you, you can take this principle and you can apply it to a lot of things in life. Whenever a crisis arises, there's always time to do this. You know, I used to have a boss that, he couldn't stand preparation and all that. He was a retired Marine, and you had to go for it. You had to get it done right then. And anyway, I think he needed to learn this lesson. But in Exodus chapter 14, let me turn to it real quick. Exodus 14, the people were complaining. Let me start in verse 12. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, say, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better." Maybe Brother Silas Ford touched on this when he was here during our meeting. "For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." Can you imagine the hard labor, the rigor that they were having to serve under the Egyptians? And they were saying it'd be better to do that than to die out here in the wilderness. But listen, I told you, if God does something, he has a purpose for it. And so what we find is the Egyptian army was pursuing them, and they had the Red Sea before them. And you know what God did, don't you? You've read this before. You've heard about this. But the people begin to panic and to complain and to charge Moses that he brought them out there to die. And for verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now that's three things I want to spend a little time on, but let's get the rest of the verse. And he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. Well, wait a minute. That's the most powerful nation, most powerful army on the face of the earth. And God's saying to them through Moses, they're not ever going to see them again. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. There's a lot that's about to happen here. Not only is God going to part the Red Sea. See, he's not delivering them from this situation. He's going to deliver them through it. God has the power to do that. These people were exceedingly fearful. And if you'd have been there, if I'd have been there, we would have been the same way. We'd never seen such a thing. We'd never seen the Red Sea parted. But God was going to part the Red Sea and deliver them through that great problem that was facing them. Not only was he going to open up the Red Sea to allow them to go through it, he's going to destroy the army that's pursuing them. That sounds like a complete victory to me, don't you? So when we think about what is God able to do, I think last Sunday I was talking about how big is your God? Is your God big enough to part the Red Sea? The true and living God is. Is that your God? Is that the one you're looking to? Is that the one you're trusting in? All right. So when he says, stand ye still. Here these people were panicking. Here these people were fearful, filled with fear. They felt like that either they were about to drown if they went into the sea, or they were going to be destroyed by the Egyptian army. That's not two very good choices, are they? The word of the Lord says, stand ye still. Whatever the crisis is that we may face in life, may God give us the wisdom to remember his word. To first of all, stand still. You know, when you're panicking and you're thinking about all the things that needs to be done or whatever, you're not thinking on the power and ability of God. But if we'll pause for just a moment and stop and think about what our situation is and come to the conclusion that, Lord, we're in your hands. We're at your mercy. But we know that you are the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so what a hand to be in. If we're in the hand of the Lord, a hand that one that loves us, one who is able to supply our need, one who has already shown us abundance of grace and mercy and blessings throughout our lives, where else would you want to be except in the hand of the Lord? So first of all, it says, stand ye still. All right? Well, fear not. That's what it said. Fear not. Stand ye still. Pause and think about it. Now, that's a lot to ask when the people are fearful for him to say, fear not. Now, if it was just Moses that was telling them to fear not, that'd be one thing. But that's not coming from Moses. That's coming from the Lord. The Lord is giving Moses what to tell the people. So when the Lord, see, if Moses and just whatever he was able to do, if he's the one saying fear not, that might help a little bit. But when we understand that the Lord is the one who's in control, the Lord's power is the one who's being called upon. The Lord's mercy is the one who's being is what's being extended. When we remember that it's the Lord that's in charge here, then we can stand still. Then that'll cast out fear. Then we're willing to wait and see the salvation of the Lord. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of Bible. There's a lot of passages in the Bible. And when God's people faced a crisis, God didn't always do the same thing. Do you remember when the disciples were in the ship and the ship was filling up with water and Jesus was down below on a pillow and he was asleep? And they came to him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Remember that? All right. Did he stand up and said, "Fear ye not, stand still, see this out"? He didn't say that there. He arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea, said, "Peace, be still." See, he didn't tell them what to do. He took charge and he did it for them. Or how about Peter? When over in, I think it's Matthew 14, Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you." And he said, "Come." And Peter got down, and he was actually walking on the water. But all of a sudden, he began to take note of the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And he said, "Lord, save." Did the Lord say, "Fear not, stand still"? He didn't say that. He reached out and lifted him up. David in Psalm 34. It's a psalm where he was delivered from all of his enemies. And in Psalm 34, one of the verses, a wonderful psalm, lots of good verses in that psalm, but he said in verse 34, verse 6, David said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Sometimes we're crying unto the Lord in our times of crisis, and the Lord hears us, and the Lord delivers us in whatever way is pleasing. The reason I brought up these other passages is because it is always God's prerogative to save in the way that he chooses. You know why? Because he's sovereign. He has absolute power. He does what he will, when he will, for whom he will. Now, he'll be faithful to his word. And if we're claiming his promises, he'll be faithful. Okay? But bless your hearts, he doesn't always deliver in the same way. And so, yes, this is a good passage when it says, "Stand ye still," or "Fear not, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord." This is a good general principle for us to understand, to be a foundation for us to stand upon, that if trouble comes in our life, we know we can look to the Lord. We know that the Lord is able to deliver us. We know that we can put our trust in him, and whatever way he chooses is going to be the best. Okay? If you'll allow me a personal reference here, my sister that just passed away this week, we prayed a lot. We prayed a lot for her healing. We prayed in the hospital. We prayed in her home over the years. She suffered with these things for over 20 years. We prayed in her home. We've prayed in hospitals. We prayed at the hospice house. We were praying for healing. You know, the kind of healing where somebody gets up and resumes their life. And it didn't please the Lord to do it that way. But what he did was better. What he did was gave her complete healing. If the Lord had answered our prayers for her to return to her daily activities, she'd still have those struggles, she'd still have those heartaches, she'd still have those sorrows that come upon us whenever things happen in this life, she'd still be going through that. But now her troubles are over. Now she's at peace. Now she can enjoy the praise and honor of the one that, she can praise and honor the one who loved her and gave himself for her. And all the others that have all gone on before us. I don't know how it'll just, I don't know just how it will be. I am persuaded through the study of the scriptures that we'll know each other in heaven. I might not know my mama as my mama. I might not know my daddy as my daddy, but I think I'll at least know them as brother or sister. I mean, that relationship that we have in the Lord is the one that's going to transcend all of this. So I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but that's my persuasion after years of study of the scripture. Okay, is that somehow we'll know each other. And so when those leave this life and pass on and go home to be with the Lord, they're also going to be with the others who have passed on before us. And I tell you what, I can look around this congregation and you know, 20 years ago, it looked a lot different. And it's nice to see some folks sitting over here once again. My first exposure to Piney Grove was there was a number of folks sitting over here. There were some folks sitting over here. Dear folks, some of the best folks you'd ever want to know in all the world. But they've gone home to be with the Lord. Their troubles are over. When we face trials and heartaches, it's a time to submit ourselves to the will of God. He's the one that knows what's best. We just know from our heart what we want. Now, I understand the Lord blesses us many times to submit to his will, but there's times when those earthly ties are strong and we would rather something happen a different way. But God's will has to be the best because he knows the whole story. You ever seen that poem? Maybe I shouldn't mention it if I don't have it, but there's a poem called The Tapestry. It talks about weaving a tapestry and how ugly it looks on the underside, but when you turn it over and see the front, how beautiful it is. And it compares that to this life, how that so many things happen and we don't understand why this is done this way and it just doesn't look very good to us right now. But when God blesses us to see the whole picture, it's going to be beautiful. Whatever God's doing is far better than what we can come up with. So on this occasion, those people, they thought that it would be better for them to go back and serve the Egyptians. But bless your hearts, we're blessed to see what the scripture says and the faithful word of God says. God opened up the great Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. What a deliverance. Well, guess what? The same God that did that, thousands of years ago, could do it today if he needed to. He's just the same today as he's ever been, and he'll always be the same as he has been. He is God, and he is able. So whatever the situation is, whatever we're facing, whatever Egyptian army is chasing us, whatever Red Sea is before us, God can open up the way. But his instruction was not for them to start digging or doing anything about it. His instruction with them was to look to him. Fear not, stand ye still, see. In other words, look to the Lord. Wait upon him. When you have situations like that, the last thing in the world we want to do is wait. But we have to. If we're going to find the peace that we need at that point in our trial. All right, so that's one of the passages that was upon my mind. Now, life is not always a crisis, right? Thank the Lord. We're not always in the a point where we're fearful or troubled or whatever and feel like that the doom is coming upon us. We're not always in that situation. And when we're not in those situations, sometimes we're tempted just like God warned the children of Israel throughout the book of Deuteronomy, beware lest when thou hast eaten and art full, in other words, he told them, when you go into the land of Canaan, you're going to have houses that you didn't have to build. You're going to have vineyards you didn't have to plant. You're going to have fields. You're going to have all that you need. And he said, when thou hast eaten and art full, beware lest you forget the Lord. And when things are going good, sometimes we have a tendency to let some things slip, don't we? We have a tendency to kind of forget some things. We have a tendency to kind of leave off some things. And that's a peril in itself. One that we don't recognize, but that's a great peril that we have as human beings. We have that tendency that when things are going well, we tend to forget. And so we need to remember the Lord at all times. And so I want to go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Since life is not always a crisis, there's times when we just need good instruction to help us on the day-to-day activities, right? Proverbs 3 is a wonderful proverb. Lots of good teaching there, but really what I'm after. And he began in verse 1 by saying, my son, forget not my law. All right, that's what I'm talking about. That when times are good and things are going well, sometimes we tend to get lazy in serving the Lord. So Solomon, by the wisdom of God, says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days. Here, there's a blessing in keeping the commandments of God. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, when the scripture speaks about length of days, it may not necessarily be talking about a great number of days as it is quality. Good days. Long days in that sense of good quality. Doing good and seeking the peace of the Lord. All right? So he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor. Listen, this is what we need every day of our life. Because, like I said, if we start forgetting, that in itself is a crisis. Okay, that's a peril. And so we need to be careful of it. So he says, so shalt, if we remember the Lord, his mercy and his truth, and observe his commandments, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, listen. That reminds me of a verse in Romans chapter 8 where it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? So if we're walking in the favor of the Lord, who can be against us? That's what we need every day. All right. So he says then in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I could ask the question, are you doing that? You know, for me, I have to pause when somebody said, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? And I have to say, I don't know if I'm doing that with all my heart. But I'm trying my best to trust the Lord. I'm looking to him for the wisdom that I need. The point is not, well, he goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. When things are going well, when life is good, you're not having any particular problems, we tend to forget. And we tend to start trusting in ourselves. And we have to guard against that. So he says, trust to the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And that's one of the things that we tend to forget. That's one of the things that we leave off, is acknowledging the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his watch care, his safekeeping of us. That's one of those things that we tend to forget. So he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What better place could we be than the Lord directing our path and us following where he's directing? I mean, you couldn't ask for any better in this life. And this word teaches us what that pathway needs to look like. This word teaches us what we need to do and how we need to live our life so that we can be found in the pathway that's pleasing to the Lord. So you know what happens? If we're doing that, if we're maintaining the fact that, or if we're good at maintaining our remembrance of our need for the Lord every day we live, and we're looking to him and we're trusting him within all our heart and acknowledging him in our ways, then we're not going to have to go find him when crisis comes. We'll be walking in the fellowship of the Lord every day. And when he's there with us and he's walking with us and crisis comes, it's a whole lot easier then to fear not. It's a whole lot easier then to stand still. It's a whole lot easier then to wait upon the Lord and see the salvation of the Lord. See, those two simple principles, if we'll just remember those things every day and walk in the fellowship with the Lord every day, then when the crisis comes, and it will, you never know what's going to happen. And so when it does come, we're not surprised. Now, I'm not saying it won't affect us tremendously. But what I'm saying is, if we're walking close to the Lord, then we're realizing our need of him every day. And when that need arises, we're walking there with him. He's there with us. He's helping us. I'll tell you something, we can go through it a whole lot better in that situation than when we're having to go find, well, let's see now, what did the Lord say about when trouble comes? See, we tend to forget. All right? So when he tells us that passage, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Well, just for a moment here, what would happen if we did forget and just trusted in ourselves? Let me go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. A good bit of this passage that I'm going to read is very similar. It's got its different point of view, but it's very similar to Psalm 1. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. All right? But in Jeremiah 17, he takes a little bit different approach to it. But what I want to get before you is the peril of not walking with the Lord, of not seeking the Lord's will, of not seeking him and instead trusting in ourselves. All right, listen to what he says. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, things are not going to go well. You know, Revelation 3:19, the message to the church at Laodicea, the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. All right? Here he's speaking about, cursed is the man who trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Well, you can't depart from something that you never had. And so here's one that things are not going to go well when they turn away from the Lord and go after their own way of thinking and their own way of doing. All right? And he describes a little bit about how that's going to be like. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. A tree in the desert. You know, trees need a lot of water, don't they? Well, if it's in the desert, it's not going to have much of an opportunity to get that, is it? It's going to be dry and parched, okay, instead of flourishing. He shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh. All right, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabit it. For a tree, that would be a terrible place to be. But you know, the scriptures speak of us as the planting of the Lord. And for God's people who know the Lord, who know his power, who understand his mercy and his grace and what he's able to do for us each day, we have an unfailing supply of mercy and blessings at our hand. But he speaks here of the miserable condition of someone who turns away from that. But we don't want to be like that, do we? We want to remember each day. We want to walk each day. We want to follow him and be in fellowship with the Lord each day. And so he goes on from there to describe the blessings of one who doesn't turn away from the Lord, but he's walking with the Lord. He says in verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And then he describes that again in terms of a tree, of what it would be like. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. In other words, it's going to remain flourishing because its supply of refreshing is from the river that's right there. It's got ready access to it. It's not out way out in the desert in a dry and salt place, but it's by a river. And so what would you expect that tree to be able to do? Would you expect it to grow and flourish and be blessed? You know, in terms of a tree. But he's comparing that to the life that a person can expect who's walking in the Lord. They've got a fresh supply of God's grace available to them at all times. I'm not saying they won't have problems. I'm not saying there won't be a crisis arise in their life. I'm saying they're close to their source of refreshing. And it shows. When troubles come, you know, when the heat comes, they're still green and flourishing because they've got that source of refreshing close by. And so he's saying the one that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, it's like a tree planted right by the river. It's got all the refreshing, all the nourishment that it needs. And he says that's the way our life will be. If we continue close to the Lord, trust in the Lord, and looking to him for the things that we stand in, then we have the help we need no matter what's going on around about us or no matter what happens in our life. Again, I'm not saying you won't have problems, but what I am saying is you've got help in them. And so whether it's like the children of Israel beside the Red Sea when a crisis arises, and they needed the Lord, and the Lord delivered them there. That happens sometimes in life. But every day, we have a need for the help of the Lord. And so when we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledging him, and he shall direct your path, bless your hearts, he will be there to supply the needs we have. That's why the Bible teaches passages like this. Because it all shows us the Lord's ability to care for us and how willing he is to provide the things we stand in need of. As we think about our life, go back over the days of your life. You know, the Lord's been so good to us. Even in our troubles, he's there with us. And so when we think about I want to close out. I know the time's about gone, but let me close out with Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And I'm really after just two verses. The Lord can deliver in great trial. The Lord's there for us every day. We look to him. And so in Psalm 25, verse 4 says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." I'm so thankful for godly mothers and fathers that teach their children, or grandmothers perhaps, or whoever has the opportunity, that there are older ones who have taught our younger ones how to live, how to walk, taught them something about the Lord. I'm thankful for that. But you know, the Lord also has given us his Spirit to abide with us. And if we're listening to the leadership of that Spirit, then he can lead us in the right ways. Okay? Problem is, sometimes we get slack. Like I said a moment ago, we get slack. Sometimes we leave some things off. Sometimes we forget, whatever. But when we're seeking, when we're trusting the Lord, when we're seeking his will, and when we're listening to the leadership of his Spirit, he can lead us on that daily basis into doing those things which are pleasing unto him. All right, so he says, "Show me thy paths, O Lord. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." You know, that kind of puts the two together. He's there for us when there's a crisis or just trouble or heartaches or whatever the case might be. He's there for us then. But he's also there for us to call upon him each day.
That's right.
To ask for his help. To look to him. You know, I suspect there's some little ones here that might not know anything about this, but I suspect we all have something that concerns us in this life. Something that we wish was different, something that we wish would come to pass, something that causes trouble and anxiety in all of us. And it could be very different. One thing, something that bothers you may not be a part of my life at this point in my life. But whatever it is, whatever we're facing, the answer is always God and his word. He has already told us in his word what's right. He's told us what's wrong. He's, you know, and it's not up to men in our present day to decide, well, that was long ago. We're going to come up with new truth. Well, people do that all the time, but they don't change the truth. And God's going to judge this world someday in righteousness. And that which has always been the truth and which always will be the truth. And the best happiness and peace that we can expect in this life is to be trying to walk according to this truth. You know, society may turn totally away from God. And they may adopt their own new standards. And they may say this is right now and all that, those kind of things. But we still walk before God every day. He still looks to us, and we should still be trying to serve him as best we can, no matter what everybody else around us might be doing. Because if we want peace in this world, we need to be living according to truth. And this is the only source of real truth. There may be truth in other teachings and other religions, but if it is true, it'll agree with the truth that God's already given us in his word. Okay? It bothers me sometimes with folks that I know are good, solid Christians, and they'll be posting stuff and quoting some other religious leader that doesn't follow the Lord. That bothers me. Isn't this good enough? It's the truth from cover to cover. This is what we need to be following. This is what will give us peace and happiness, because it's the one true and living God who's going to be blessing, who's going to be helping us, who's going to be delivering us. He's the one, he's the only one that has life in and of himself. And he's the only one that can give it. And bless your hearts, he can take it. His word shows from time to time that he does. And so, trust the Lord. Seek his face. Follow his ways. Walk in truth. And rejoice in his salvation. This word is a thorough furnisher. You know, that's what Paul told Timothy. All scripture given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Whatever it is that we need to know in order to follow the Lord better, he teaches us in his word. May God help us to seek his face, to trust in the Lord, to stay close to him. Do you know, and if you feel like you're not close to him right now, in the book of James, James says, draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. Isaiah says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. You know, whatever we need, if it's in the way of coming back to him, if it's in the way of serving him better, if it's in the way of learning how we can serve him, it's all in the book. May God help us to read his word. And you know, it's I've actually had people complain to me that, you know, they wish it was better organized. Well, don't you think God organized it the way he wanted it? And it's complete. And so the way we learn is line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And may God help us to look to him, trust him, serve him, and find that he's able, that he loves us, he shows mercy, and he's able to take care of us, and we'll be able to see the salvation of the Lord. May God bless you, is our prayer.